Hey, how's it going? Good, we're good. We're still awake. Wonderful. Well, I'm from the east coast of Canada. East coast. I mean, we can share it a bit with you guys in Toronto, but, you know, we're looking, we can see ocean. So it's good. It's all good. So, yeah. Anyway, it's a privilege to be here. Thanks, Tyron, for the opportunity. It's an honor to be with you. It's an honor to share this morning. We're really just going to look at Jesus over the next 30 minutes, if you're okay with that. We have been going through the seven I Am statements at Anchor City Church over the last number of weeks, and we're going to do that quickly this morning. But really just the reality of who is Jesus, and let's just look at what Jesus said about who he said that he is, right? Jesus says, I am. And so these seven statements, we understand that we can't capture Jesus in seven statements. We get that. But in the same sense, there's seven statements, and we understand seven means completeness. And so there is still a completeness that happens as we look at these seven I Am statements. And the amazing part about it is that Jesus, in each of these saying, he's saying, I am, and explaining what that is. And then it goes on, and he applies it to who we are because of who he is. And I think there's going to have to be a supernatural. We prayed this morning for supernatural revelation of Jesus this morning. And we're going to need a supernatural revelation to get all of who Jesus is. First of all, to understand who he is. And then secondly, to understand who we are because of who he is. And it's because everything that we are is based upon everything that he is because we're in him. Right, so that's our life, right? That's everything. So we don't need to look in the mirror any longer. We just need to look at Jesus to understand who we are. And so there's this reality. Jesus always finds a very sensitive way. As Paul had spoken, he says he's the Son of Man. Well, it's interesting that in these seven statements, he says, I am. But he's speaking to a Jewish audience that remembers Exodus 3:17, where Moses is speaking to God and God says, I am who I am. And so clearly, Jesus is speaking to this Jewish audience, and he's saying, I am. And by doing that, he's declaring that he's God. He is simply God. I am who I am. And it's New Testament now, so he's going to bring some characteristics and some identity about who he is, just simply. And these things pour out of the reality that Jesus is God. These pour out of the reality that these are supernatural sayings, because Jesus is a supernatural God. And we are supernatural people, because we follow a supernatural God, because church is supernatural. So everything that we have, we're not looking to the natural this morning to understand who we are. We're not looking in the mirror to understand who we are. We're not looking to those around us. We're looking to who Jesus is. And we just want to fall on his face and say, Jesus, I want to know you more. Simply by that. And then out of that, we have this reality that we walk into who we are because of what God is. Right? And I'm excited about that, because I don't want to look in the mirror and be confined by who I am. I want to look at who Jesus is and say, man, let's go for it. Talk about expansion. Man, how much more can we go for it when we understand who Jesus is? Anyway, so let's go. Let's do this. He starts, so he says, I am the door. And it says in John 10:9, Jesus simply says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And this is the reality. It can also be translated as gate. Notice that Jesus doesn't say he is a door. Jesus is the door. He is the door. If you want to understand kingdom, then understand that he is the only way into that kingdom. And so he's the entry point. So everything we're going to talk about this morning is the reality that Jesus is the entry point into everything that's kingdom and everything that is our inheritance in him. It goes on, it says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And so this is the first understanding, salvation. And so I just had in my heart this morning as I was praying. Just the water, it's good. I'm used to water on the East Coast. If you're here this morning, do you know that you're a part of that kingdom? Do you know that? I mean, I understand it's leadership, I get that. Maybe someone's invited you here, but are you a part of his kingdom? Are you trusting in the righteousness of Christ given to you by faith? That is salvation, and that's entry into his kingdom that only comes through Jesus. And may I just encourage you right now, if you're not in that place, if you don't know that that's what you're standing on for eternity, that you're standing on to walk into his kingdom, I encourage you right now to sort that out. Lord, come right now, by faith. Not by what I've done, not by what my parents have done, not by what I grew up in, not by what I'm doing for you, Jesus, but by righteousness in Jesus, by righteousness alone in Christ, by faith alone, coming into his kingdom. I encourage you right now to sort that out. Please do so. And then so for you, if you've done that, then all this now applies to you as it applies to all of us here in this room that carry the righteousness of Jesus. So then he goes on and says, I am the door. He goes on to this next, in John 10, he stays there. He says, I am the good, and it can be, I am the good, beautiful, wise shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for a sheep. This is a good picture. I was thinking that could be our church mascot. I was thinking we'll call him Ivor. And I'm going to order up some ripped up skinny jeans to put on this sheep. Yeah, really good ones. Hey? Yeah, that's good. I was looking in the mirror this morning. I think I've got old man skinny jeans on. No rips, and they're not like totally tight. I can still get them on and off. It's as far as I'm gonna go, folks. Yeah. All right. Let's get back here. All right. He's a good shepherd. You know, Jesus enjoys being a good shepherd. You know, he's proud of his shepherding. He's delighted at how he shepherds you and cares for you. We read about more of his shepherding in Psalm 23, 1-3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And just getting a sense of his shepherding. In John 10:10, Jesus speaks of the idea of a shepherd and contrasts that to a thief, who we know is the enemy. Directly, John 10 reads, the thief, also known as a stealer, comes only to steal and kill, which means to slaughter indiscriminately in the Greek, and fully destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly beyond excessively. It's a direct quote. And we're talking about abundance. I mean, we were talking about abundance today. We're talking about abundance coming into more this weekend. Our abundance, of course, happens based on Jesus. And he cares well for us. We understand the enemy wants to take us out of that abundance by theft, by death, by destruction. And Jesus, instead, wants to always bring us into his abundance. And I'm not in the health and wealth movement, but I'm just into the Bible. And in the Bible, it talks a lot about abundance, like excessive abundance. And that's what he has for us. But it's standing on his kingdom being advanced. And so we've got this beautiful picture of Jesus as a shepherd, and he wants to, and he delights in shepherding you very well. And so we can trust him to shepherd well. And it's because his identity is he is a good shepherd. And because he is a good shepherd, it means that you and I are well cared for. It goes on, I am the vine. John 15, 1 and 2. It says, I am the true, genuine vine. My Father is a soil worker. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, so that it might bear more fruit. We understand that from a grapevine, there are branches that go along, and they all grow off of the vine. And only only the first year branches actually produce fruit, and so the rest need to be cut off. And so he's always cutting those things off in our life that are taking away the energy that might look good. There's leaves on them, but there's going to be no fruit. And so there's this beautiful reality that we have of taking away those things. And then the branches that do bear fruit, speaking of kingdom, he actually takes and starts to mold those things and trim those things away so that we can bear more fruit. I mean, I just love what Paul spoke about just previously, about the idea of being a good follower. It's like, that's just the design of the kingdom to come in and to be submitted so that you can be trimmed up and be ready for more of what God has for you. You know, I was thinking about this. When you think of like kingdom, think of heaven, what do you picture for a vineyard? Like when I think heaven, vineyard, I'm thinking like massive, abundant fruit. Like I'm thinking unbelievable fruit, right? Well, so is Jesus, right? if we're on that vine that's connected to Jesus, then I think that's Jesus' picture as well. And so when you picture yourself, do you picture yourself a part of this beautiful thing that has abundant fruit, because that's the Lord's heart for you. And so you might be selling yourself out right now. You might be saying, well, I'm just going to have a little bit of fruit and that's enough. And I would suggest that the picture of kingdom is large and abundant. Like when I think heavenly vineyard, I think unbelievable fruit, unbelievable abundance. And you're a part of that. Why is that? Because you come to the door. You've come to the door, right? You come through Jesus. He's just outstanding. Next, the bread of life. John 6:35 tells us he is the bread of life. Jesus says, he just fed 5,000. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me, it's written this way, will not become hungry, crave, toil, be famished, and whoever believes in me shall never, ever thirst, ever. And it's just, the point is, that's the direct Greek, and that's the point of that, it's just the overwhelming abundance that's there for us, and he just wants us to know who he is. He just wants us to know that he just fed 5,000 men, and also women and children. And so just this idea of abundance continues. Kate and I, we go every Monday, when every pastor shouldn't do any work, for lattes and French toast. And then there's also bakery, and we get these like awesome loaves of bread. This, like, we're talking like warm, beautiful, like just amazing bread. And isn't that just a picture of the sustenance of Jesus? But Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And you just get to come in and you just get to eat at the table. And not only that, he says, I'm the bread of heaven. It's a supernatural thing, right? Like we're trusting to be filled by a supernatural kingdom, right? Not a natural, nothing that we're trying to work up. It says we're coming to Jesus. We understand this is all about Jesus, but we're coming to Jesus and we're just getting filled up because he is supernaturally abundant. He is a supernatural sustainer. We don't need to look any results around us. We just need to look at Jesus. He's all there for us, everything. If you're here this morning, like, I don't feel complete in my life yet. I don't feel sustained yet. Well, just keep looking at Jesus, right? Just look to him because he's right there and he wants you to have as much of him as you possibly can. Fullness. You can leave here right now complete. You can spend the rest of your life looking and searching for that completeness, or you can just leave here complete right now. Say, Lord, I'll just take you. I'll just take you. That's good. And just see it shift. He goes on and says in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not, again, a double negative, not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It says in John 1:4-5, in him was life, and his life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And compare that to John 12:35. So Jesus said to them, the light is still with you a little longer, while you have the light, in order that darkness does not overtake you. Okay, so this is beautiful vision here. Jesus says that we can be overtaken by darkness. But in the same book, we read that Jesus himself cannot be overtaken by darkness, right? And so if you're being overtaken by darkness, then press into the one who will never and never will be overtaken by darkness. He is the light, and he will burn away the darkness. It'll just be purged out of our system because we've come into the light. So we can battle and we can battle darkness all that we want to, on our own, being overcome, or we can just come into Jesus, who has never and will never be overcome. It's already over, folks. It's already over. You okay with that? Is there hope in that? You all right with that? I'm pretty excited about that. We're not supposed to get excited in the East Coast of Canada, especially Maritimers, right? We're like, sheesh, man. I find this pretty exciting, though, I got to tell you. Yeah, I'm wearing like Toronto. Don't tell anyone we got excited here. Yeah, we'll keep that between you and us. Yeah. In John 14, he continues. In John 14, 5 and 6. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And Jesus has just spoken. He just said that he's going to be going to prepare a place for them, a place of intimacy in heaven, because he doesn't want to be without his disciples or any of us who follow him, or all people, of course. And they're in grief, they're in shock, they're in bewilderment. And in that, Jesus says, "Hey, I am the way. I need you to know that I'm the way." And what I love about that is that whenever we can come into disappointment or bewilderment, Jesus says, "Hey, I'm the way." The way isn't necessarily advice. I would say the way is a person in the name of Jesus Christ. So whatever you are facing right now, Jesus is your way. He is your way through. He is your answer through, because he knows it perfectly. And he knows it doesn't matter how much is going on, he will take you through. He will take you through. Why? Because he is the way. He is the way, and the way is a person, and his name is Jesus. "I am," he says, "I am the way." And finally, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." John 11, 23 to 26. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." But this time Lazarus is dead. He's in a tomb. And so they're having this discussion. Lazarus has been dead for a while now, a couple days. And they're having this discussion. And it goes on. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he may die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never," again, twice, "never die." Do you believe this? And I just love this amazing picture, because Martha is in her, just, she's grieving. She's just lost her brother. And Jesus encounters Martha, who is a close friend. And Martha starts to talk about the reality of the resurrection of the last day. And so she starts to outline some interesting and wonderful theological points, right, about what's going to happen. She's in her grief, and so what is she reaching for? She's reaching for her good theology. She's reaching for her good theology about all these things and about the resurrection, and she's looking at resurrection right in the face. The face of Jesus. And so Jesus just cuts it off and he just says, "I am the resurrection." You can talk about your fine theological points all you want to, but just if you look in my eyes, then you'll see resurrection. Because I am resurrection, and death has been fully destroyed. Absolutely annihilated on the cross in the resurrection. And isn't it interesting what we run to in our bewilderment? Right, we run to our theologies, we run to what's next, our formulas and our systems, and maybe our religion, and maybe what feels good, and what, who knows what. In the midst of that, we get Jesus, we can look at Jesus right in the face, and he just brings it right back and says, "Just look at me. I am resurrection. And because I am resurrection, your brother's fine. And I'll show you my power in a couple minutes, by the way, but it's so much bigger than that." Isn't it fun looking at Jesus? This is so good. I mean, there's a completeness, right? To Jesus. And I understand we couldn't a million I am statements could not get Jesus. I get that. But yet there's something of the completeness of Jesus as that we've just gone through. He is a door. access into his kingdom. Not just access to his kingdom, access to him. It's like a personal thing, right? It's not just this kind of periphery thing. It's like access to Jesus because he's the king of that kingdom. The good shepherd, well cared for, well protected. The bread of life, wonderful, sustaining sustenance. Removal of hunger, removal of the desert. Sustenance, fulfillment. The light of the world, never overcome. Never overcome. On his throne right now, he's not overcome. No one's going to take him off that throne. And we just get to say, Jesus, I'm just submitted to you, to the one who's never overcome. I might be being overcome right now, but as I come into you, Jesus, that will stop. Because he will bring me into that place because of who he is, not because of who I am. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is your way, and he is my way in the midst of it all. You don't need to look around. You don't need a strategy. You don't need to sort it out. You need Jesus. I need Jesus to get me through. Whatever it may be, he has the way. He's already got it sorted out. Finally, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And it just, for me, speaks about the reality that he has defeated everything, including death. He's defeated it all. It's all sorted. We don't need our, I'm not anti-theology, I love theology, but I'm just saying we need Jesus, right? Jesus is the answer through for us because he is the one who has made this all possible. It's just my heart this morning that we would just understand the sufficiency of Christ. He is fully sufficient. And because he is fully sufficient and fully complete, we can walk into that and under that, right? And so that we can be fully sufficient into the things that he's called us into. Because if we're not standing on that, we're not going to be able to come into the things that God has for us, right? We have a supernatural order at stake here. We have a supernatural kingdom that he wants to advance on the east coast of Canada. I really believe that. But it comes as we just tuck in to him. It's a supernatural thing from our king who has a heart to do it through us. Is it okay to pray? Yeah, Lord, so thank you, Jesus, just for who you are, Lord. You are just, we don't really have the words, Lord, but you're just a delight. You are overwhelming to us. You are completeness. You are fulfillment, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for who you are, Lord. And we thank you that you're willing to share who you are with us, Lord. Unbelievable, Lord. We just thank you. I pray this morning, God, if there's areas in those aspects of our character that we're looking for outside of you, I pray that we would look to you once again, Lord. I pray that they would move back to you, Lord, that if we're searching for other things and other ways and other answers and other fulfillment, I pray that we would now turn back to you and come into you and you allow you to fill each of those things in each of our hearts. We pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.